Welcome to the 22nd episode of the Space Explorer podcast. I almost said wrap up.
I can tell. I almost
went right into it.
I can tell.
I had to stop for a second. But we had a few things this week. Oh, of course, with me, of course, is Daryl Sauce.
Hello.
Week, again. How's it going, Daryl? I always said how's it going, but
yeah.
It's awesome. It's fun to hang out with you. This is going to be an interesting episode whenever it's just us two on here.
Oh, yeah. we're trying to keep it polite on this one.
yeah, real professional, 100%. Yeah. Well, this week it was actually a relatively busy week, even though what,
was there
we got done.
There were things that happened this week. I had no idea.
Yeah, last week was Sun and Fun for me, and then the rest of the Space Explored people. So like, I honestly don't even know what happened exactly in the space like stuff. I know we talked about some stuff on the podcast, and then like. I don't really even remember last week.
Well, was it Sun and Fun or Sun Burn and Fun?
Sun, both. But mostly burning.
Yeah.
I'm finally, my burn has subsided on my legs to be, like, I can wear shorts now. I feel happy. I feel comfortable wearing shorts.
You shouldn't have worn shorts the first time. Telling you, bro.
I learned quickly. I got a pair of long sleeve shirts. Got like one pair, and one pair. Why does that not make sense? But I got one long sleeve shirt, and I wore that one day. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is heavenly. I don't have to layer on sunscreen. My sunscreen on my shins were so bad that even when I wore pants, I could feel it through the sun through my pants, and it was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it was.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
I would take my bucket. I was wearing a bug hat. Of course, I was wearing a bucket hat. It's the only proper headwear to wear when the sun is out. And I would like, I'll just like put it over my legs, and it was just, it felt heavenly. I have like another layer on there. I'm like, oh, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't like burn consistently. It's great. But so we had, I got to see the Blue Angels for the first time.
Ever?
Ever.
What?
So, well, ever in an air show. Because they practice over my house for the air adventure up in Oshkosh.
Oh, okay.
So,
I mean, it still kind of counts. You're seeing them basically do the show before the show.
All it basically, well, they didn't really practice. Like, they practice for formations. Like, formation flying. So, pretty much, it was like them just flying in the Delta, the Echelon. Or is Echelon, right?
Something
right,
like that.
Left Echelon?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then, the diamond, like that's the diamond with like the two solos behind. Like, I saw them do that, but like high up, like we're talking like not like probably about 10,000. No, yeah, probably about like 8,000 feet, 8 to 10,000 feet above me, like above the airspace of the airport.
Well, you know what that probably was. It wasn't necessarily practice, but I know down here a couple of times whenever they come to town, they do like VIP flights and things like that the day or two before the weekend and whatnot.
That's probably what it was too.
Yeah.
Because that's where they fly out of Milwaukee Airport. Well, it's called General Mitchell. They fly out of the Milwaukee Airport for Oshkosh. So there's also the Milwaukee Air Show, which I got to find out when that's happening this year or if it is, because I want to go to that.
You know, seeing all of y'all's stuff last weekend really gave me some FOMO. And I may or may not make the trip over to Lake Charles, Louisiana to see one of them. I forget which, but I want
to
see at least one
Oshkosh.
Of them. No.
You should come with Oshkosh. I think it's the largest air show in the world or something.
I ain't making that drive. Look,
come on.
Look, I can be in Lake Charles in 2 hours from where I'm at. I'm good with that.
It's only like 20-hour drive.
Yeah, no.
It's like you drove the Virginia for a launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a launch.
It's the same thing, but for like airplanes. They go burr.
They do go burr.
Especially if it's an A-10.
A-10 doesn't go burr, it goes.
It's fair.
It really
fair.
Does. You ever heard the sound effects of it? You ever heard the sound of that gun firing?
Yeah,
it's obnoxious.
They had it's like the anniversary edition of the A-10 they had flying with like the special paint scheme. Oh no, Zach Shaw was telling me about that. Okay, I don't remember what it was, but it had like a camo paint job to it instead of just like the gray. It looked one of my. I don't know if I posted any of the photos of it, but I should definitely edit some and post it, and I'll show you.
Yes.
It looks sick.
That
was the Sunday Heritage show, and then the Saturday Heritage flight, I mean. The Saturday one was just a normal... Like, so they had Cocoa Air Show going on, and then Sun and Fun happening in Lakeland, Florida, at the same time. And so what would happen would be, we had the F-22 demo team, they had the A-10 demo team. I think they both had P-51s.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would borrow one of our F-22s, and we would borrow one of their A-10s. So the F-22 would take off, and that's when you knew, like, okay, we're getting close to the air show. They would fly over the Cocoa, do their Heritage flight with the A-10, P-51 Mustang, and F-22 Raptor. And then the 22 and the A-10 would fly over the Lakeland, pair up with the P-51 here, and then they would do the Heritage flight just in time for that. And then the A-10 would, like, take off, head back towards Cocoa.
Hmm.
Like, that... I was like, that was coordination.
Yeah, it is. That sounds like a lot going on.
It was so much going on the weekend. But let's get into the space news. Let's start off, of course, with SpaceX and what they did this week.
Yeah, let's get higher in altitude.
Let's go right into this week's... The biggest story this week was Crew 2 launch yesterday. Early, early in the morning.
God.
Come on. When are they going to give us a non-early morning launch? And guess what the next launch is going to be?
You can't be mad at them.
Starlink at midnight.
You can't be mad at them. You just got to be mad at orbital mechanics. Like, I woke up in time to see liftoff, and then I went to work. I watched all the coverage today of launch.
I didn't even watch most of the coverage because I was on a boat, and I listened to the coverage.
You were at least out there, though. You were there.
What?
You were there.
Yeah, it was nice. It was so great. Like, if you guys don't know who Starfleet Tours is, they do, like, boat tours of, like, the coast, as well as, like, boat viewing opportunities for launches. So they started doing it for the Falcon Heavy demo, was their first one. They made the paper, like, everyone was reporting on them, and, like, all that stuff. And then they just kept doing it, made it own business and stuff like that. And so, like, Steven and Cam are over there, and they, like, run the whole thing. They're really awesome. And so they did the boat tour the day before at sunset, which was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I got to hang out with John Krause, like, afterwards. He was like, usually I looked at me, nice. I'm like, that's high praise. That's high praise.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, like, the boat view, like, that's, like, if you guys get a chance to do the pre-launch tour at sunset, it's great. I told him, like, sunset has to be a sunset. Don't do it in the morning. Don't do sunrise. Don't do anything else. Do sunset. Sunset's so much better.
I went out there for demo one, the day that it scrubbed, and, you know, that was like a afternoon liftoff time. And mm-hmm. I was saying to the captain, like, after he took us out close by, I'm like, man, if we would have come out here like a couple hours sooner, we could have actually fished right off the beach where 39 mm-hmm. is at. So I could have gone fishing right under a rocket and then back up and watch it lift off.
Yeah, that would have been
Great deal.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Like, yes, I think we got lucky that day too. There was no clouds around the western horizon. So there's always clouds on the eastern horizon, no matter what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's always clouds. I don't know why. There's clouds in Florida. Like, I remember I did that 100 days of sunrise, and there was always clouds. There was only, like, one day where there was zero clouds. And by other than that, there's always clouds. So
did you go to sleep?
Yeah, so we launched. What?
Did you go to sleep? After that tour, to launch, did you go to sleep?
So, the tour happened the day before, when it was already scrubbed when we went.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So launch Friday morning. The tour was Wednesday evening. So we had like a whole day to do other stuff, and then I did end up sleeping afterwards because we decided just like I can't sleep before launch, especially when it's early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just can't do like an hour or two nap like some people do. Like, I envy those people. So I just stayed up and I got back at like at 9 a.m. and just crashed. So the cool thing about the Crew 2 launch, other than it being crewed and it being successful, they've docked this morning. They're all up there. There's 11 of them on the ISS, which is crazy. But the cool thing about these launch is that it's an hour, just over an hour before sunrise. And so we got like the jellyfish effect,
mm-hmm.
the backlit exhaust. And it was beautiful. It was awesome. I tried taking photos, but I suck. I suck at photographing the jellyfish, even with a tripod. And then me trying to do it without a tripod, like without anything, even on stable land, like on a boat, trying to take photos of it, like with low shutter speed, it's just, I got nothing, like almost nothing, but it was beautiful. It was great.
Dude, I love those boat tours. I will never go out there to photograph a launch again. Way too unstable for pictures.
It is very, even with on the big boat, so it's a little unstable, but like it's still awesome to do.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you're not a photographer, go. Go.
Yeah, but the boat tour beforehand, like the early boat, like the pre-flight tour, like that's 100%, that's great photos.
Yeah, that is.
Because you're just right along the coast. Like, this is probably the closest I've ever been to a Falcon 9. Because remember when we did, remember before, was it before DM2?
I've still been closer.
What?
I've still been closer to Falcon 9 than you.
I can't remember when we were together, we did the bus tour, the free one that you can do, the Saturn V Center, and they had a Falcon 9 on 39A.
You and I didn't.
No. Oh, maybe it was John Van Horn and I.
Or was it one day when we just like went over to the Saturn V Center?
It was like the one that we just went over to the Saturn V Center.
Oh,
we just,
okay. Yeah.
Drove
we did
down
that.
The 39A. Okay, I think it was before, I don't remember if it was before DM2. No, it wasn't before DM2. I don't remember when it was. But that was like, we were about like probably like 3 miles away. They stopped us at, or we couldn't go down the crawlerway pretty much.
Right.
You're like, a mile at most. Like, it was, I could have swam it. Like, I'm not a swimmer, but I probably could have swam that distance. I wouldn't have, because I looked over and saw like there was like a couple hundred jellyfish in the water, but like I could swim that. But that was great photos. So, but yeah, it launched early in the morning, we had the jellyfish, and dude, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't watch it, you guys gotta watch it. Like, if you guys didn't watch the stream, you gotta watch the stream.
You, oh, crap. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You know how I said I had FOMO of the air show? I had even bigger FOMO of missing this launch.
I had a little bit of FOMO of not being on land for it because I didn't get any photos, but I just got to see it, and it was beautiful, so I was happy.
I still have not seen a jellyfish in Florida. I've covered a good handful of launches now. I've never seen one yet.
I've seen three. Two were the Falcon 9, one with the Atlas 5. I think if you're going to choose one, you got to choose an Atlas 5.
I just want to see one, period. I just need to see one, period.
Yeah, like it was an hour. It was like the first day would have been better. The first day was at 6:11 a.m. I think, and that would have been way better because it would have had more of the sun up. But like, it's still great. Like, to see the RCS thrusters like puff and see the.
That's what I want to see. Now, did you remember to spot the ISS when it passed over?
We did. We were okay. On the boat, and Loopy. I was with Loopy, and mm-hmm. he was like, "I just passed it overhead," and we saw it.
Yep.
We all waved. This is probably the first time. So you know, you're supposed to wave when you see the ISS pass. It's tradition. This is probably the first time that I think that they've ever done that, where the crew is actually waving back.
Yeah, they were watching live. Yeah,
they were all like, they were out the window like waving.
Yeah,
I don't know. Were they in the cupola?
Probably.
I don't know whether, because they said it was on the stream.
Well, they
had the stream.
They may have gone to it and looked down, but by the time of launch, they would have been on the other side of the world by now.
No, yeah, but when it passed over the Space Coast. It passed over the launch.
Well, anytime.
And they mentioned it in the Crew 2 live stream.
They did. So they even showed it. They showed like a white dot on the screen because somebody did not focus on
it.
It
is.
No, it's
what it is.
It's possible to pull your focus some kind of way to at least get some detail where you can make out the
it's
shape. Basically,
like, yeah, I'm sure it was probably like, I'm sure no one realized it until like an hour before.
Well,
happened, and then no one was prepared for it.
Well, for future reference to anybody who goes out to see a launch, if it's going to be like an early morning launch, or maybe even a evening launch, like right around sunset and whatnot. For an evening launch, it'll happen after launch. For a morning launch, it'll happen before. But anything going to the ISS, you're going to see a pass overhead.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see... Yeah. That's how the orbital mechanics work. You're going to see a pass overhead.
Yeah, there's usually always a pass overhead for a CRS or for...
Yeah, for...
I remember it's always, yeah, for
CRS or crew, you know, make sure you're looking up if it's the right... If it's the middle of the day, you're not going to see squat, so don't worry about it. Just know that it's there and,
telescope.
And wave when, you know, the phone app tells you, but, you know.
Yeah, but, like, it was kind of funny that we were all, like, I was like, oh, we have wave. And then, like, I heard, because of the delay, the video, the stream's, like, 3 minutes delay, and they mentioned that they were, like, oh, you can see him waving. And I'm like, this is probably the first time that, like, we've waved at the ISS and they waved back. So because they're usually when you do it, like there's no one for you. Sorry, they burst your bubble anyway, but they're not waving back. So we talked on this last week, but when we touched on it, it was technically still like a rumor, wasn't confirmed by NASA.
Mm-hmm.
It was from Christian Davenport, which is like practically fact. But so Starship won the HLS contract. I don't know if last week we had a number, but it's $2.9 billion.
That's it.
That's nothing.
They got $3 billion for commercial resupply.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. That's actually a lot of money.
Think of SpaceX pre-CRS and mm-hmm. not post-CRS. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we talked about it. I honestly don't remember all we talked. I know we just touched on it. It's like, oh, it's like, we would have seen two, which we still wish we would see two. I hope they do an HLS like two contract and get a second one in there. But because redundancies like great. Mm-hmm. And actually, during the confirmation hearing this week for the new NASA administrator, that's something that one of the senators brought up, is that they like to see redundancy with the HLS. So,
well, and that's, I mean, that was an easy setup to say, okay, give us more money. Because that's what it was. It was
a confirmation hearing. So the only thing Nelson's going to say is, I'll look into it as an administrator. I'll be looking and trying to just. But they're not going to go back at them. But like, it's a job interview, pretty much. So,
right. But the decision came. Nice. The decision came, yes, because of how far along it was, but also because of budget. Because they're not just building this for Artemis, they're building this for themselves too.
So
they're just going to make a variant for Artemis. That's it. So yeah, of course, so they like, came in under budget.
Yeah, of course. So like, I think we talked last week, but like the amount of money they actually got was only a couple $100 million each. And especially when you talk about the national team, you're talking about Blue Origin and Draper, which are two, like, I mean, Blue Origin is newer to the aerospace game, but it's still been around since the early 2000s. But like, and Draper, like two very large aerospace companies, and then don't give me that look. And then,
I'm biting my tongue.
Here's the thing, you have Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin, two of the largest, not just aerospace, but defense contractors.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people they're going to have, even on a small project, is probably in the hundreds. Like, the people they have on a small project outweighs probably, like, the entire, people's entire companies. Like,
true.
A couple $100 million split up across four companies is not going to be enough. Because they all got to have managers, they all got to have, assistant managers and assistants and engineers and office managers and like, all these different people.
Right.
You got to pay. I'm not surprised that probably the majority of the money for that did not go into developing hardware and developing, because
it went into pockets.
The Blue Origin, the National Team Lander, had the BE-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like kind of the only thing that was being developed. It was the BE-7, I think, was the lander. BE-4 is for the rocket. BE-7. The money even had to go develop New Glenn, which it didn't end up actually. There's so much that money had to be developed. The BE-4 engine had to be developed. New Glenn had to be developed. The BE-7 engine had to be developed. I don't remember what the other engines are, but all the different types of engine systems on the lander that had to be developed, which takes a lot of money to do. Like, those are probably the most costly parts of a rocket, other than probably the capsule the crew's in.
Mm-hmm.
All that had to be developed, and they probably only had money to develop maybe one small part of it. So it makes sense that SpaceX got it, because like, they just put up a whole bunch of private money into it, and the other companies, that's not in their, like,
in their
that's
case,
not just in their culture to do, is to get private investors.
In their case, with all of the big names on the national team and whatnot, it was probably one of those cases where you got to spend money to make money. I mean,
that's never how defense and aerospace contractors worked in the past.
In the past.
And that's the issue with this, is that they probably developed it in the past where they go, okay, well, what the best we can do with the money you gave us is give you this.
Right.
When and SpaceX took it as, okay, we'll take this money, put it with all the money that we just got privately, and then we're going to do this, this, and this, which,
right.
Yeah, it's only your cover's only going to cover maybe like a quarter, but like, you know, who cares? We want to get this done anyways.
Right. So, yeah. It is kind of a shame that, you know, they didn't pick a second one. Maybe they will later on if they get the funding, but this...
I hope they do.
Yeah. This also highlighted problems with the Dianetics lander, too. A lot of technical problems that around the same time as the HLS contract was awarded.
Well, I think like the only part of that that was actually fully developed because of the same issue. Like, they just didn't have the money to throw at it to develop more of it with the award. I think it was just the engines, like, were partly developed or something.
They had a mass problem. That's what it was.
That's right. They had a mass problem too.
There was
too much mass.
They had a negative mass problem. That's the technical term. Basically saying, hey, you're too heavy. You got to lose some weight. And they just couldn't get the stuff under control. I mean, it was a great concept. The thing looked like Thomas the Tank Engine, but in space. And I was kind of hoping it would win just because of that, so that everybody could meme the heck out of it.
It looked like Jamestown from Fallen Mechanic. I think we talked about that last week. That's what it looks like. That's what it reminds me of. I like it. It was a really cool lander.
I kind of like it too.
Blue Origin will probably protest. Or National Team will probably protest. I'm sure there's been talks about protests, which is because, one, there's not even a... It was a decision that was made without an administrator. I think that's a weak argument, but
anytime Blue Origin doesn't win something, automatic lawsuit right away.
Yeah,
well, and the clock is running to see how fast they do it.
It's not the first time that SpaceX did it. Other companies done it, so I'm sure it's going to be it. We actually have some more interesting information that the per cost of what's going to do this. Now they don't have the contract for later down that's came out this week, but. We got something very, very important to talk about this week.
Uh-oh. What's that?
On May 8th, Saturday Night Live will be hosted by Elon Musk.
Oh, man. Buy all your Dogecoin now.
There's going to be a Dogecoin reference in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's going to be at least six or seven of them in there.
A reference or the dog?
The monologue is going to be interesting because we all know Elon, one, does not like to go on script.
No.
He is best when he stays on script, but he also is, his public speaking skills have improved.
Right.
But there are definitely no like actor or congressman, like the people who have normally hosted stand-up comedians who have normally hosted. This is going to be a very interesting show. I can't wait for it. It was just a small tidbit we can talk about. It's I don't even have a way to stream. Oh no, I do. My parents. I live with my parents now. I'll be able to watch it.
If you don't have a cable service, I just found out the Peacock app, which is NBC's app. You can like stream stuff for free. They just throw in commercials and whatnot. So.
And Saturday Night Live is live. It was going to have commercials no matter what.
So. And I mean, NBC is regular broadcast over the air TV. Go get some rabbit ears.
That's fair.
You'll manage. You'll manage.
I'll live with it.
And the other crazy thing, the musical guest is Miley Cyrus.
This is a very interesting combination. I think Miley Cyrus is the one who even announced it too. Like Elon hasn't even said anything about it, which is
weird.
Elon Musk, Saturday Night Live, NBC. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird and real.
Do you think he'll say Jeff who? Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Jeff.
So this is part of the weirdest. This is what I was talking about when I said more information about the ramifications of the HLS contract and as well as last year's. USS the defense launching contract that New Glenn didn't get. Amazon, of course, has been developing Project Kuiper for the past couple of years, which is their pretty much competitor in the Starlink OneWeb internet constellation market. They've been developing it, and now they're finally looking to launch it, which we all thought was just it's going to go to New Glenn, obviously, like. Jeff Bezos with Amazon, Jeff Bezos with Origin, they're going to launch a New Glenn. they bought 9 Atlas Vs to launch their first Kuiper missions. I have so many questions. But the first one and the most prominent one is, if you're going to buy someone from ULA, why not Vulcan? There's no Blue Origin at all in this contract.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder. Once you stop laughing about it, you start to wonder why. So that probably hints at, hey, maybe the BE-4 engine isn't coming along like they wanted it to be by now. So they're going with Atlases, the RD-180s, all the rest of the RD-180s have been purchased for the rest of Atlas's lifespan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's done. And I think ULA is still working on selling all of the last Atlas launches. So here you go. That just crossed off 9 right
and
there.
I don't know. I don't have a confirmation about this, but someone said that this was the rest of the Atlas Vs, pretty much.
No, I heard they still have some more to go sell them all off.
I only saw that from somewhere. I wasn't able to confirm it, so I wasn't sure exactly if that was real or not. But maybe Vulcan's just not going to be ready in time, and mm-hmm. they want to launch 9 Atlases this year, which I don't see happening. Just based off of ULA's history with how they launch, like they're not a company that can. They're a company that probably can move fast like SpaceX, but they're not used to it. Mm-hmm. So it probably isn't. It's not like a switch you can turn on to be able to be okay. We're launching back-to-back weeks, like week after week after week. Like, that's not, I don't see ULA being able to do that for probably the years of trying to do it.
And that's not their MO.
This is a huge commercial win for ULA.
Mm-hmm.
ULA hasn't launched a commercial rocket for very, very long time. All of their missions have been government contracts and government, NASA and DOD, NOAA, massive government contracts. They haven't launched. Before Falcon 9 was like a real player in the commercial launch industry, they had plenty of commercial contracts, but they haven't been able to compete on their price for so long. So I wonder if there's probably a little bit of pride with Jeff not wanting this to go to Falcon 9, though one of their VPs have said that they've designed the satellites and the distributors with mind to be able to launch on other providers if needed. Yeah.
And even SpaceX has said, yeah, we're putting up Starlink, but anybody else who wants to put up a constellation, you need a ride.
They're a commercial company. Pay them. Like, they'll do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Like, sure, whatever.
Yeah, money talks.
It's going to be really weird to see an Atlas V with the Amazon logo on it. Like, I don't think I've ever seen an Atlas V before with anything other than Air Force, Space Force, NASA. Like, those are the only three logos I've ever seen on a ULA, other than the ULA logo, like, in the American flag.
I mean,
so it's going to be weird to see Amazon on it.
I know. It is going to be weird.
So, yeah, so another ramification. So this is why, the reason why they're probably Atlas V is that, yeah, like, BE-4 is probably not doing well. This is all speculation, of course. But, you know, BE-4 is probably not ready. Vulcan's not ready. They have the Pathfinder out there. But, like, they're still in early. The Pathfinder was supposed to be done, like, way sooner. So this is another sign that Vulcan's being delayed. New Glenn is obviously very delayed.
Well, I think on ULA's part, I think they're pretty much ready.
I think it's the engines. Yeah, I think that if anything's going to be an issue, it's probably the BE-4. The Vulcan is just a fatter Atlas V. They seem to have this stuff down pat. At least from everything I've talked with them with, they seem very confident in everything they've done so far on their end. And they've always said, like, the only new thing in this is the BE-4.
Yeah.
And they said that's over and over and over again. The only new thing flying is the BE-4, which says, like, first things flying usually are the hardest part. So,
yeah.
It was I don't know. It's just like, there's no Blue Origin in this, which is so weird. I want to see New Glenn fly so bad. The launch pad. It would be a shame. You know what would be a shame? It would be a shame if, I don't want to jinx it. I don't even want to say it, to jinx it.
Just do it.
But, like, they've built up this huge facility on the East Coast. You have the New Glenn factory, the New Glenn launch pad.
Yeah.
But they've lost 2 contracts in a row now.
Yeah, that's
like
a big deal.
What's the next contract that's going to go through that they can't get? That's going to be like, obviously we're done. Like, we can't do it. Like,
And now look,
has there been so many straws with so much money being put into this with no income so far?
Yeah, I mean,
you said
two contracts in a row. You talking about the Kuiper contract?
Okay. No. We're talking about the defense contract from last year.
That's right. Okay. And now you talk about Jeff Bezos's holdings. Now he's even more in the negative because Amazon is not able to just write off by going to their sister company. Now they actually have to pay out of pocket. So that's even more money they're down.
This is not money going to Blue Origin anyway. Not even. This is why we're here for Vulcan. Like, if they would have at least done Vulcan, then that would have been some money coming back to Blue Origin because ULA has to buy BE4s from them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a point where we're going to... I don't want to see anything wrong Slick 36. I don't know. Hopefully,
it's got a big water tower.
The thing is, they do have plenty of contracts for commercial launches. So, it's just... Those are more like... I don't know how much money was put into that. I think those are more intent to buy rather than actual purchases.
Right. So,
I don't know. Back over to other big rockets this week. Mm-hmm. SLS.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Hashtag orange rocket good.
Well, it's coming for us, but it's leaving for you.
It is leaving for me. It's leaving my general vicinity, and that's a good sign, though. That's a good sign. That was always the plan. That was always hope. And you know what? There's two more already in the works. The core stage for Artemis 3 is being built now. So they have two of them being built at the same time.
Core stages for you is like a mother bird. Like New Orleans and Stennis is kind of like the mother bird of the space where like they build things up in their nest. You know, they grow them and then they got to let them leave the nest.
We built some really big stuff. I mean, look, wait. Mishu has built the biggest pieces in NASA spaceflight history. First two stages of the Saturn V, the external tank for the shuttle, and now SLS core stage. Mm-hmm. So it's some really good pieces.
Ever built, because coming out of New Orleans.
Like, yep.
And right, just down the road from Folger's Coffee.
Yes.
That's funny.
They're practically across the street from each other. They literally are.
It's so funny. For all the things I was expecting when I went to go see Mishu, it wasn't that it was going to be across the street from a coffee packing like.
Oh, there's also a movie studio across the street. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Louisiana's film industry took a nosedive when the state legislature got rid of the tax credits for the film industry, but it's still there. There's still stuff that gets filmed there.
It's such an area I would not expect to see the meatball, but like it's there.
Not at the moment.
I thought they put a new one up.
No. It hasn't been put back up yet. So the giant building on Mishu that you can see clear across town.
It was on a different building. It wasn't on that. That one had smaller meatball.
Yeah,
and I saw one and a half meatballs. I saw like three and a half meatballs because there was like two NASA signs with a meatball on it. But.
Yeah, the big building is the exterior is getting an overhaul right now, so they took that meatball
down.
It definitely needed it. I mean, the building's been around since like the 40s and 50s. The boats that we used to land on the shores of Omaha Beach during D-Day, they were built there.
Really?
Yep. They were built there. They're called the Higgins boats.
The Higgins boats. Yeah.
They were made by Andrew Higgins.
Go to marine traffic right now and check on the status of the Gulf.
It's on the way. It's just on the way.
It's in the Gulf.
Yep.
Just off of the, just off the Gulf, just off the coast just off the coast of Tampa, but it's pretty far away from Tampa.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be seeing if you're in Tampa.
No.
But that's kind of the closest part is where it's at right now. So it might be getting here. It's about a 6 to 7 day trip, I think.
Something like that. They take their time. Especially this time.
It's a big thing. It's delicate. Take your time. I'm happy about it. I'm just hoping it gets here before I leave Florida on the 29th.
Ooh, I think you'll be good.
The 28th is going to be a really busy day in space. You're going to have, of course, hopefully Core Stage 1 coming in. Starlink launch at midnight that day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Ingenuity in a little bit, but Ingenuity might be making its third flight this weekend and then possibly a fourth flight.
Mm-hmm.
If you like look at the days in between flights, there might be a fourth flight there.
They're squeezing them in while they can because it's not expected to have a long life. So
But what else happened on the 28th? Crew one splashdown.
There you go. Well,
in departure.
There you go. I mean, that one's kind of a big deal. How'd you forget that one?
That, I was like, there's so much going on the 28th. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, there is.
Hopefully SLS gets here, and then they go on their way for Armless 1 in November.
Mm-hmm.
Ish. We'll see. So, back to Ingenuity. Last little topic for today.
Yep.
When we talked last time, they've done nothing. It just was getting prepared for flight, and now they've flown twice.
Yep.
The little drone on the helicopter.
The little drone that could.
On Mars. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
The first flight was only about 30 seconds. It was all just a short hover on the above the motion story. I think they call it now Wright Brothers Field. I think is the actual like name.
Yes.
So. And there was a little tiny piece of the Wright brothers on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that does for aerodynamics, but I'm sure without thin atmosphere,
it's a symbolic thing. It's not part of anything structurally helping
There's
it
so
fly.
Much that doesn't matter on this thing. Like, it's awesome. Like it's just a cool thing. So it hovered for about 30 seconds on the first flight. Second flight was for about a minute, and they actually did fly sideways. The only thing, they finally released a video of it. It flew like away from the camera.
So yeah.
You can kind of see it tilt, but that's it. And get smaller and get larger. That's it. You can't really see it fly around, which kind of sucks. But it was only for like a few meters, and it came back and landed. And so now they're preparing for a third flight coming up soon. Possibly tomorrow. I'm not sure. Derek was covering that. I don't know when it's coming. But they're coming up with a third flight on Saturday again.
Mm-hmm.
And so back last week, they flew the second flight on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's why I think on the 28th we might see a fourth flight.
This thing's got a crazy test schedule like Starship does.
Because they're already actually getting towards the end of the lifespan.
Yeah, they
it's
are.
It's only about 30 days lifespan. They can extend it, I think, for another 30 days. But
well, with the way JPL engineers stuff, this thing could last years. Who knows?
This could last another like a year probably. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of things that might just like. Because it was off the shelf components, it's just like it just won't last 30 days,
right?
But because they had some delays in the beginning, they had to update new flight software. It cut into their lifespan, so they're like cranking these things out.
Yep,
these flights as much as they can, and these are really cool flights. Of course, it's just a tech demonstrator. So there's I don't know even what science is being done on these, other than just. Can we fly on Mars?
Yeah,
which they've proven twice they can.
That's really what it is. And the next one, they're hoping to traverse side to side the distance of an American football field, basically.
I hope they do it where the video can actually catch it. That'd be nice.
I hope they catch it with sound.
I don't know if sound travels that far on Mars.
I don't know.
They have a microphone on the helicopter.
I heard something about they wanted to try and catch it with sound, but the microphone on Perseverance also has a short lifespan.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's so awesome. Yeah, it's really cool to see these things come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the next one, yeah, we already covered all that.
Yeah, hopefully that microphone works so we can hear Ingenuity go...
I don't think it's going to sound like that. The atmosphere is way too loud.
Ingenuity go burr?
Ingenuity go... Ingenuity go...
Ingenuity go burr.
It's a high-pitched burr.
Yeah, it's smaller. So, it's going to be higher-pitched.
other updates with things that aren't more with me rather than Space Explored.
Okay.
I'm finally back on Time Machine after like 400... over like a year of no updating. Finally back on Time Machine.
You back up stuff?
This is what we were talking about before. Like I'm with Derek, who has like, you know, like he has his computer, and I think he has a backup of his Mac, like a remote. I back up my whole desktop with Backblaze, but and then he has like another server that has like RAID and it's all redundant, and like he's working on like another off location backup for all his video stuff. He doesn't delete stuff, so he doesn't like lose stuff. I'm like, delete whatever. I don't care. I format my cards after every mission. So like, but yeah, no, I'm finally backing up my photos too. Like, it's I'm a grown up. I'm an adult now. I'm happy. I'm responsible. I'm backing things up. So, and I think last time we had Darren, we gave you an update on Ruds. Of course, Darren and I do a podcast called Rapid Unscheduled Discussions.
Yes.
Or, I'm now the hold up.
Shame.
Possibly. We might also... We're discussing it. The Red Season 2 has gone so many different ways. So yeah. Hopefully we'll have an update in the coming weeks. We might just... I think we have a plan that we're just going to start doing it, and it's going to be great. But yeah. Of course, you can follow. Thank you everyone for listening this week. That's the show for the week. So I got a little weird at the end, but you can follow me at Seth Kirk, SETHKURK, on Twitter as well as on Instagram. And you can follow Daryl at
Sausse Images, SAUSSE Images.
Awesome. And you can listen to us on most podcast streaming services: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Google Podcasts, I believe. And pretty much any podcast service, pretty much, or on our website at spaceexplorer.com. And we'll see you guys all next week.
Bye.
See you.